In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you'll recognize that they have just finished building the temple. This would be Solomon's temple that he's built for the Lord. It is a place of magnificence. It is a place of marvel. It is a place of glory. It is the house of God. And the Bible says in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." I guess tonight we had a topic. I want to think on this thought. When God fills the house. When God fills the house. Now, certainly, we see this great temple that Solomon has built for the Lord. And as he's praying, the fire of God, the Shekinah glory of God, comes down upon the place. It is God's stamp of approval upon his house. I believe that is the number one, his presence filled the house. And when God gets around some things, amen, and begins to come down in the house, he'll fill the house. I mean, how big is God? Huh? Who can define how big God is? Hey, he's big enough to do it all, and he's small enough to fit in my heart. Amen. He's big enough to make a way for me, and yet he's small enough to lead me and guide me from within me. What about that? And I want to say, when he gets in the house, amen, he can fill the house. I say glory to God for that truth tonight, don't you? When the presence of God gets on so strong, that is incredible when he fills his house. And I thought about this presence of God over there in 1 Corinthians. Don't lose your place, but turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Now, tonight we're just following God. We don't really have any notes per se, really what to do or what we're going to say. So we're going to talk about this temple real quick. This temple that Solomon built, God's presence filled that house. Amen. And certainly you can see the fire of God falling. And we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. And Paul writes to us under the influence of the Holy Ghost and says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own?" You see, this body that you have, this one in which you live, your soul, your spirit is inside there. When God saved you, amen, the Holy Ghost moved inside, and his spirit has filled the temple. The Bible says that we're to be filled with the Spirit and not to be drunk with wine. Amen. To be filled is a command of Almighty God. It's not a suggestion. It's not some preacher's idea or an opinion. But to be filled with the Spirit is a command. Now you may say, "Now wait a minute, preacher. That was just the mercy of God when Solomon and them had dedicated the house that the glory of God fell down. Do you think the glory of God could fill my house?" Well, let me tell you what. The night I got saved, he filled this house. Amen. This tabernacle was filled by the presence of the Almighty. I didn't leave there perfect, but I left there different. Amen. I left there saved. I come in lost and I left saved. I come in on my way to hell and I left on my way to heaven. And Jesus moved inside, and now inside of me, the presence of the Almighty is there. And oh yes, there are times that I seem to be ebbing so low, and I seem to be so inept and so unable. But then there are times that I get around the Word of God and the songs of Zion and the preaching and the praying and the praising of God, and something inside me starts welling up, and I know it ain't my flesh. I know it be the presence of the Almighty. Amen. There's times, amen, that God just comes down and fills us so strongly. Amen. That honest, you feel like you get such Holy Ghost goosebumps.
You could button your shirt on one, amen, when the Lord starts moving and blessing you. And it is in those times, amen, that we are most strengthened in the Lord. And there are times that we need to have the presence of God in our life. And again, I say to you tonight, it is a command of God to be filled with the Spirit of God. Then you, preacher, how can I do that? Then you must make a way to spend more time in the Word of God. You must make a way to spend more time getting around the things of God that are in the house of God, getting around someone who's going to preach, getting around someone who's going to pray, getting around some people who are going to praise God, getting around the place where the presence of God is. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." You see, we need to be in a place where Jesus is being lifted up. And you and I need to practice lifting up Christ. And if we'll do that, His presence will fill the house. Amen. Now let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We see that Solomon here is dedicating the house of God, is he not? And the presence of God falls in that place. And I thought then, as he was praying, as he made an end of this prayer, that's when the presence of God fell down upon that place. Like a mighty fire, the glory of God fell in that house. Friend, that presence of God was so strong that the people of God could not get in to minister. Amen. Getting such a service that you can't even stand up and testify. You can't get out of a pew, or you can't get out of an altar. You're afraid to do anything because God just moving in that place. I have to be around that, don't you? Then I thought about Solomon's, his praying. Now, what about that? As he's seeking the face of God, as he's honoring him in prayer, that's when the fire came down at the end of that prayer, and it came and filled the house. Now, I remember over in the book of Acts chapter 16, you will turn over there with me, speaking about prayer. Amen. I appreciate being around folks that pray, don't you? Folks that just believe God, folks that want to call on Him. Now, I know you know these verses of Scripture, but my Bible says that after Paul and Silas had been locked up in a jail cell, after they had been beaten, after they had been bludgeoned, after Paul and Silas had blood running down their backs, not your pain, not your blood, but their blood. It's always different when your skin gets in it. It's always different when it's your blood running down your back. Told somebody one time, there's two kinds of surgery. There's minor surgery and there's major surgery. It's minor surgery when it's on somebody else, but when it's on you, it's major surgery. Amen. And I'm telling you, that was blood running down their back. Now, in the middle of the night, what are they going to do? They're going to get to questioning God. They're going to get to doubting God. They're going to get bitter at God and start resenting God. What are they going to do when times get tough and it looks like God's nowhere around? My Bible says in verse 25, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed." Hallelujah to God. They began to pray to the God of glory. The same God that filled the house that Solomon built for His glory, the same God Paul and Silas has been saved by, they're still praying to Him, still seeking His face. And the Bible said, at midnight, just when life is at its darkest hour and the blood and the pain is on their back, the Bible said Paul and Silas prayed and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Boy, I tell you what, we know that when they prayed, suddenly there was a great earthquake, was there not? It was as if the power of God had come upon that place after they prayed and after they began to sing praises. And that'd be our third point. What happens when we begin to praise God? Hey, the fire of God falls and fills our praise. He's inhabiting around the praises of God's people. Our problem is we don't praise Him enough. We spend half as much time praising God as we do complaining we might really have church. Amen. Well, they're singing praises and they're praying, and the Bible says there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Imagine being turned loose by God. Hallelujah. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, He drew out his sword, would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, saying, and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You see, when life's in its most darkest hour, if you can just keep praying, if you can just keep praising Him, somebody's listening. Somebody's watching you to see how you handle adversity. See how you handle opposition. Preacher, why is this happening to me? As some strange thing that it's... Let me tell you, you're not the only one this ever happened to. Jesus has already been there and done, went through greater things than you and I could ever think we could go through. Yet He came through it on the other side victoriously. The Bible said, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. Oh yes, this trial is shameful. Oh yes, this trial is a hardship. But people's watching you. They're listening to what you're going to do. Are you still going to go to the altar? Though you're tried like Job. Hey, Peter would say this, "Where else could I go? Who else can I turn to? It's God that filled this house. I think I'll just keep serving Him. If God could fill this house and save me from the devil's hell, hey, if I keep praying and singing praises to Him, that man, surely He'll deliver me again." Listen, He's brought you too far already to forget you now. Amen. Hallelujah to God. And the Bible says, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." I believe this jailer could have confidence in these men's words because he had heard them singing praises. He had heard them praying and seeking God's face. And he thought, "I can believe them. These are some believable people." And guess what he did? He called on the Lord Jesus Christ. He got saved. His whole household did. And they all got baptized. Let me tell you something. Singing praises, amen, and offering up prayers, it's still biblical, amen. Hey, what about the book of Acts chapter 4? This just comes to mind. There's Peter and John. They've been beaten and locked up, and they told them, said, "We're going to let you go, but don't you spread it any further about this man Jesus. Don't you say another word about Him. Don't you testify. Don't you witness. Don't you visit. You stop all that mess. We're tired of it," is what they told Peter and John. The Bible says in verse number 20, let me tell you what happens when God fills a house. They said, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Acts 4:20. Hey, when the Lord fills the house, you can't help but talk about Him. You can't help but want to tell somebody. Listen, you'll stop the preaching, amen, if you just about have to. You'll say, "Wait a minute, preacher. Before you get out and preach, I got something I got to say." I mean, when the Lord fills the house, amen, there ain't nothing going to stop it. Amen. And the Bible says, and down here in verse 23, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. You know what they're doing? They're beginning to pray and say, "Oh God, we've been threatened. Oh God, there's opposition. I mean, there's somebody against us." And they said, "Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." Verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word." They said, "Lord, we want to ask You, would You do a work? Would You fill us with the power of God? Would You give us boldness to go out and preach the word?" Friend, I'll tell you what, you know what you need to be done? You need to have, this house needs to be filled. The Bible says, in verse number 31, "And when they had prayed," God got in their prayer, "when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled." What's that? All filled with the Holy Ghost, "and they spake the word of God with boldness." You will not find one place where Peter and John said, "Lord, behold their threatenings and tell them to quit it. We can't take no more. Make it go away, Lord. Stop all this mess." Huh? That's what you pray. "Oh God, stop what they're doing. hinder them. Cause it to stop. Ain't that what we pray? Take it away. Not what they prayed for. They said, give us boldness. Amen. And when they prayed that and did that, the Bible says, then the place was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And guess what they did? They spake the word of God with boldness. Evidently, not only had God filled this house with his presence, and not only had God filled this house with their prayers, and not only had God filled this house with their praises, he had made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, but now they're saying, God, fill this house to preach. And with all boldness, they went out and preached the word of God in power and in demonstration of the Spirit of God. My mind goes over here to the book of Hebrews. Please turn there with me. I believe it's chapter 13. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 13. Friend, I want to say something to you tonight about you praising him, about you seeking his face in prayer. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 13, down here in verse number 15, the Bible says, by him, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You see that tonight? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be offering up our praises to him, offering up our petitions and our prayers to him. And we're supposed to ask him for his presence to come fill us. And friend, I'm going to tell you what. When that happens, God will fill the house amongst his people. I'm telling you what, people, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to be filled with the power of God. Let me tell you something. Anybody that wants it can have it. No different than you going down here by the gas station. You just happen to notice that your needle has got low. You start thinking, do I have the money to fill up my tank? And you delay it for a little while, and a little light comes on. Bing! And the little lady, if you got one of them cars, says, warning, you're running out of gas. You're like, shut up. I already know that. I know my problem. I know I'm running on empty. I know things are low, but you just don't know how bad I got it right now. If you don't stop at the filling station, you're going to run out. And we're going to see you pulled off the side of the road, and we're going to know you didn't get a fill up. We're going to know you run out because you neglected the warning. You neglected the sign. You neglected the praising. You neglected the praying. You neglected seeking his face for his presence to come down. And all you had to do was pull in the filling station. And the thing about the Lord is, he don't charge you no price. Amen. I guarantee you, bless God, if the gas station said, we're going to have you a free fill up today, the line would be 3 miles long. And you'd even sit in it and not complain. You'd worry and think, oh, I hope they don't run out of free gas before I get there, because I'm needing that, and I'm going to stay in this line, and I'm going to call my boss, and I'm going to tell him I'm coming in late. When are you going to be here? I don't know. You ought to see the line I'm in, but I'm waiting on the free fill-up. Amen. You'll give up your hunting trip. Yes, you'll give up going to your ball game. You'll give up going to sell. I'm going to get about $100 worth of free gas, and I'm going to sit in this line if it hair lips the devil. But you'll come to the filling station at the house of God. Come in here lower than a snake's belly. Come dragging in with a pooch lip, ready to give up. Can't wait to get out. The man of God get to preaching about when God fills a house. You'll look at him cross-eyed and said, I'd rather heard the singers sing than the preachers preach. But I'm telling you what, God said tonight, you can have a free fill-up of my spirit. I'm offering that tonight. And all you got to do is pull in the filling station. That means you get out of where you are and you go to where he is before you run out. This verse of Scripture comes to mind. You could quote it to me. The Bible said, if my people, this is what God said to Solomon, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Hallelujah to God. and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And I'm telling you, that is available tonight if you want it. That's the word of God to Solomon at the end of his prayer request, when the power of God had fallen and the presence of God had filled the place. Don't be so insensitive as to know tonight that God's not spoke to your heart and offered you this. You know the predicament you're in. You know just exactly what you need. Would you come and get your free fill up? You don't have to wait in the line tonight. You don't have to pay a price. You just have to come and say, God, I need that. Oh, I come in slow. I need that tonight. Would you come? Our Father and our God, we love you. Thank you. Praise you, Lord, for all you do. We ask God you'd touch us now tonight. Pray, God, you'd hide us behind the cross. Lord, we love you. We praise you. And thank you, God, for the very fact that you loved us, sent your Son to die for us, saved us from a devil's hell. And God, you moved inside us in the presence of God. Boy, I like it when you get in the church service, Lord. When the presence of God gets so thick and gets so real. I mean, people not just shouting, but they're weeping. They're crying. They're broken. They're in a worship mode. Thank you, Lord, for that. God, we read when the man of God, Brother Solomon, when he finished praying there, that the power of God fell. So great was the glory of God that the ministers could not minister. The singers could not sing. Why? Because God's presence had filled that place. And yet, God, there are still times that we come to you, Lord. You inhabit our praise. You want to hear our prayer requests, God. You want to come down amongst us in our petition and show us your power in the midst of our valley. Just when we need help, help is available. David said, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Oh, God, tonight, I pray, God, that we'd come into the filling station tonight, God, and you'd fill us tonight with your power, with your presence. Help us, God, that we might preach more boldly. Help us, God, that we might praise you more continually and more fervently. And, God, that we might pray more effectively. God, I ask tonight, God, you'd help us from the earnestness of our heart that we look to you and ask you, God, for this feeling. Oh, God, it may be that we go down the road and the power of God sits down amongst us. It may be that we're reading the Word of God at the house and the presence of God fills our house. Oh, God, may it fill this church. May it fill this tabernacle in which I dwell. God, may the presence of God have his own way. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. And I pray, God, that we'd understand that when the presence of God falls, the enemies have to flee. The worries have to take second fiddle, God. They're gone, our frets, our fears. Oh, we're just concerned to look to the glory of God. Help us then, God, to be filled with this presence. Lord, we ask for these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord. Amen.